Well, good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church, Sun City West Online. I hope that you are having a wonderful Sunday, and I hope that this will encourage you as you sing along with our worship time, as you hear what God's Word has to say, and as you look forward to a time that we can come back together again, and that will happen. But this morning, we welcome you, and if you're a guest and not a member of First Baptist Church, Sun City West, find that email address on our website. Send me an email. I'd love to be able to chat and communicate with you, or call the church office. We'll look forward to that time. Join me in a time of prayer, and then we're going to spend our time in worship and praise. Father, thank you for the opportunity today that you've given us. We have already seen through the slides and the information about all the ministries that we have going on, and I pray that some of those have touched the hearts of people who are watching. They might want to engage and be involved even in this time that we're not able to gather together. So many opportunities for ministry. I pray that this morning, that Father, everyone who watches will worship. Father, they will sing the hymns from the depths of their heart, not just out of memory, but Father, they will understand and communicate because we're giving you the honor and praise and glory that only you deserve. And Father, as we look on this very special Mother's Day at a special mother in the Old Testament, help us to take those characteristics and put them into our lives. And Father, as those are viewing, there are certainly mothers and grandmothers, maybe some great-grandmothers that are watching, and I pray that you will honor and bless them because our mothers do so much to nurture us. And so, Father, you hold them tight, bless them, and this morning, encourage them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, on this Mother's Day, let's sing and celebrate.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength, all of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you, in you. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. In his time, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you'll do just what you say in your time. In your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, my life to you song I have to sing be to you a lovely theme in your time.
I want to pay tribute to songwriter, singer Andre Crouch for the beautiful song that he's written about the powerful blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It's who my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It will never
Paul, thank you so much. What a beautiful song. Andre Crouch has been a mainstay for a lot of years for a lot of people. That song just speaks boldly to the blood of Christ. If you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to look at a couple of verses, or it might be on your screen. You can just read it there if you want. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, and then we are going to go to chapter 2. Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." Hannah said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And then in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. This lays the foundation for us this morning as we focus our attention on Mother's Day, characteristics of a wonderful mother, a magnificent mother, but also what gives each one of us the ability in our own lives to carry these same characteristics. Join me in prayer if you would. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have. We are so thankful that on this Mother's Day we can reflect about mothers in the Bible, our own mothers, people who have taken us in, who have been our mothers, maybe not by birth, but have given that kind of encouragement and nurturing. Lord, as we focus our attention honoring moms everywhere, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, I pray that each one of us will be encouraged by their examples, godly examples. And I pray through the scripture today in Hannah's life, Father, we will learn and maybe accomplish the ability to change part of what we do to become more sensitive, more open to what you have to say according to your word and the characteristics that we see that a believer ought to have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, Mother's Day, what a special time. I have often been intrigued by a quote by Sidney Harris. He said, "The commonest fallacy among women is that simply having children makes one a mother, which is as absurd as believing that having a piano makes one a musician." Well, I had and have the great privilege of having three mothers that were the greatest in the world. My mom, obviously high on my list. In fact, every Mother's Day, you probably can't see it, but I'm wearing my I Love Lucy tie. It has Lucy and Desi and Ethel and Fred. Thank you very much, Pat. I appreciate that. I spent my younger years in my mom's lap watching I Love Lucy. I mean, we watched it every single day for whatever period. I think it was a 30-minute time period. We watched that, and then she would get about her busy work around the house, and I did my stuff. And that continued on even to the fifth grade when I was late almost every day because I Love Lucy ended right when the bell was ringing. And so I had to leave about 3 minutes, and I'd get to school in about 5 minutes, and the teacher would just shake her head. It was a special time. And so I wear that in honor of her because that's something that we really enjoyed. My mom was a tremendous mom. I had the best mother-in-law a guy could have. She was absolutely lovable, great sense of humor, deep compassion, a willingness to hear somebody, to understand, and to help. She took me in, and I became a son to that family. I tell you what, Miss Klein, absolutely amazing lady. And I loved her sense of humor, her sense of mission, her willingness to teach the Bible, her willingness to make sure that the family stayed together. And then the third great mother is my wife. She has done such a great job with our girls and continues to be that lifeline. They don't really call me all that often, but they'll call her for certain for advice. So I have been blessed. And we find another amazing mom in the book of 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel, as we've read, you'll find that there was a magnificent mother by the name of Hannah. She was the mother of the prophet Samuel. Her influence upon her son, and in reality of all of history, really cannot be measured. Her influence in those early, very early years, and that continual influence, formed and shaped much of what Samuel in those early years understood, and God grew over the course of his life. Biography of Hannah shows us a number of characteristics that really a magnificent mother, a magnificent believer ought to have. And first and foremost is a magnificence in prayer. Dr. H.E. Dana talked about or wrote about in his book concerning Dr. Lee Scarborough, who was one of the presidents of Southwestern Seminary many years ago, that when he was born, his mother prayed for him to be saved and that God would call him to be a preacher. When he was 3 years old, she became seriously ill. She could not get around. She was too weak to walk. But he said she would get out of her bed. She would crawl all the way across the room to the baby's cradle. She would take Lee Scarborough in her arms, and she would pray for him. Pray that he would accept Christ at the right time, and pray that God would call him to be a preacher. And you know what? God honored that prayer. He became a powerful preacher and then even led the largest seminary in the world at that particular time. What a great influence. Someone, a mother who prays. Well, Samuel had that kind of mother. Childless, Hannah took her burden to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, the scripture says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord." And then go on to verse 20. Says, "So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked the Lord for him." When we think about magnificence in prayer, I think that a person needs to pray from a burdened heart. Hannah's prayer for a son was a burdened prayer. You go back up to verse 5 in chapter 1, you find that the Bible says that the Lord closed Hannah's womb. It's very specific. And then you go back to verses 10 and 11, one of which I've quoted, but I want to quote it again because in the context, there presents itself a burden. The scripture says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" That is a prayer that comes out of a burden of the heart, one that has such a strong desire, a strong want. Debbie and I started, we've been married a few years. We decided it was about time for us to have kids. And so over a course of time, we realized that, yes, this was not, there were some issues going on. And in fact, as we talked to some fertility specialists, they weren't sure that we would ever have any children. And I'll never forget, as a compassionate husband that I strive to be, I was trying to find other opportunities. And so I found a Christian attorney in Hobbs, New Mexico. We lived in Roswell at the time. And I made an appointment to go and see about potential adoptions. And we left the attorney's office that afternoon, evening actually. We were heartbroken. It was so expensive to adopt, and I was a preacher. We didn't make much money. On the way home, my wife wrote this poem. We'd love to lay you down at night and watch you as you sleep. Instead, we watch an empty crib and wish for you and weep. We'd love to help you change your clothes and teach you how to dress. Instead, we see empty drawers and trust the Lord knows best. We even have some toys for you to play with when you come. There's a special room reserved for you in our empty home. We'd love to watch you learn to walk and help you when you fall, and hear you when you cry at night and come running when you call. We'd love to buy you your first bike and watch you shine with pride as you accomplish what you're striving for when you finally learn to ride. No doubt you'll make us proud as you lure us with your charms. There's a special hug reserved for you in our empty arms. All these things we're waiting for with great anticipation, hoping that our dreams will one day bring us true elation. Although we do not understand God's perfect will or plan, we long for the day when He answers our prayer and places you in our hands. Until that time, we'll continue to pray that God will, in His grace, impart, for there's a special love reserved for you in our empty hearts. The burden of desiring something so near and dear, it just brings tears to your eyes. It's interesting because Deb wrote on the bottom of this poem later, "I wrote this poem on the way home from the attorney's office in Hobbs, New Mexico. I was so sad and discouraged. What I didn't know at the time is that I was pregnant and God had already answered our prayers. I just hadn't realized it." And that's our daughter, Sarah. And Sarah, many of you know her story. They've been trying for 4 years to have children. There's no way they're going to have them unless they use the fertility specialist. And that's what the track that they've been on. They've been here this week trying again to move forward with that dream. And we see that burden. We see the deep desire of both Sarah and her husband, James. And it brings this to mind, the burdened heart. We pray hard. We pray long and we pray fervently for what we sense God desiring to do. That's what Hannah felt. She felt this. Her husband obviously had another wife, as some Old Testament characters did. Well, she had seven children. And she rubbed it in the face with Hannah all of the time, if you go back and look at chapters 1 and 2. And it hurt Hannah deeply, even though her husband loved her immensely. But this prayer came from a burdened heart, a willingness to say, "God, if you will answer this prayer, I will give this child to you to use as you choose." When you pray, do you pray from a burdened heart, or do you just pray from a list that you see? Do you have a compassionate care as you pray for those that you're praying for, or for true spiritual awakening or revival? It needs to come from a burdened heart. Also, we find in Hannah that to be magnificent in prayer, that prayer needs to come from a grateful heart. After Hannah's prayer was heard and Samuel was born, she did not forget to thank God. In verse 27, it says, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I have asked of him." I won't read the entire prayer that Hannah prayed in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, but these first two verses, connecting with chapter 1 and verse 27, means so much. The scripture says that Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk about gratefulness, a sense of understanding that you say, God, I couldn't have done this obviously by myself, because you've answered my prayer that came from a burden. I want to be grateful in my praise to you, because you are the one. And that is the sense that we have throughout our life. The sense that as God has given us salvation, the opportunity for it, as he has blessed us in so many different ways, that we not forget to have a grateful heart. And in our prayer time before Almighty God, that grateful heart should be present. Secondly, we find that Hannah was magnificent in faith, and that's what every single believer ought to be as well. Hannah was a woman with a strong, unfailing faith, and she took her petition to the Lord. As we see that throughout 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, she is adamant about this. The faith that she has is amazing. It is a faith that takes hold on God's promises. Burdened for a son, Hannah took hold of God, and she refused to let go. In verses 17 and 18, the scripture says, and Eli had been listening to everything Hannah was saying, except there was no voice coming out. She was praying in her heart before God. Her lips were moving. In fact, Eli thought that she was drunk. And he said, how long are you going to do this? Go home. And then she explained what was happening and the burden. And this is the context where Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And her response was, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went away. She ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Now you think about this for a second. Here's a woman desperately, with the context we've already laid, burdened for a child. So burdened that she is, her conversation with God is immense. And then God hears. And God's spokesman says, may the God of Israel grant you what you're petitioning for. And you know what? That's where her faith came in. She took him at his word. Before, even though her husband was giving her a double portion of meat while they were always at the annual time of worship, she would never eat it because she was so downcast, discouraged, depressed. All of a sudden, you see what she says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went on her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. It was joyful. She had faith that what Eli said was going to take place. So now she left it into the hands of God. God's promises. Our faith must hold to God's promises. Also, to be magnificent in faith, we must trust God's leadership. That means we need to step out of the way, allow God to use us, but not insert ourselves in the way that we think things ought to go. Hannah prayed and got her answer. She trusted the son promised to her to the leadership of God. Verse 11, again, remember, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That term, remember me, just sounds loud to me. And I reflect back when Jesus was on the cross and the thief saying, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Don't you like to be remembered by people? Don't you like people to remember your name? It's something special about that. And Hannah says, please don't forget me. See the misery. And I promise you that I will in turn give the son that you give me right back into your hands. A love gift. An honoring gift. And she fulfilled her vow. You move on to verse 24, 28. The scripture says, so now I give him to the Lord for his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. I don't know how Hannah was able to do that, not knowing if she would ever have children, any more children, but she was satisfied. She was satisfied to have that child she called Samuel, given from the Lord. She was satisfied and she was so grateful, she was willing to give him back for ministry, for service, whatever God wanted to do. I think back when I was just little, my mom would pray, and she prayed for me every single day of her life after I was born. Now, I don't know if she prayed because she was not sure if she could handle me or not, or if she just loved me that much. The fact is that when I was very small, she prayed and said, God, I want you to use Kirby and help me to train him however we can, but I want you to use him for your kingdom's purposes. Literally, she was giving me to the Lord. Not quite like Samuel, where he went to live with Eli, you know, at the house of worship. But my mom, it made a difference. And she saw me in my high school days and then my college days, going all over the country doing mission trips, getting an education, God calling me to the ministry all through the seminary days and pastoring. She had to have this incredible heart of satisfaction because she had turned me over to God's leadership. Magnificent in prayer, magnificent in faith. And third, we must be magnificent in love. There was a quote that I really enjoyed. A noble example, talking about Hannah, a noble example, that of the mother's love, that many waters cannot quench, neither can the floods drown. Talking about a mother's love. Hannah's love for her little son, whom she gave up to God at a tender age, was no less than that. It's a love that arranges priorities. And Hannah had her priorities. In verse 5, she wanted a child. In verse 10, she prayed for a child. In verse 11, she was promised a child from the Lord. And in verses 27 and 28 and into chapter 2, she gave him back to the Lord. She had her priorities. She knew exactly what her burden was. She knew exactly what she wanted to do, how she wanted to accomplish that. And through the process, every step along the way, it was the sense of a mother's love, desiring this child, and in the greatest context, giving this child back to God. When he was a young boy, the great painter Benjamin West decided that he wanted to paint a picture of his sister. And so he got out all of his ink. Obviously, Mom wasn't home at the time. And he began to do this portrait of his sister. And I mean, there was a mess when he was finished. And when Mom came home, first thing she saw was the mess. But the first action she took was to go and to take that painting and say to Benjamin, what a beautiful portrait of your sister. And then she kissed him. And years later, he said, it was with that kiss that I became a painter. Priorities. Is it the mess or is it the accomplishment, the desire, the urging? We need to make sure that in our love for God and our love for our family, that the priorities are straight. Are yours? In this time of pandemic, this time of not being able to get very far, have you decided that you're just going to stay home and not do anything? Or has this been a time that you've been able to get into God's Word and really read it and study it and listen? Is it a time that you've really spent lots of moments in prayer? Is it a time that you have been able to communicate with people that you love, either by the phone call or the text or the email? Are your priorities straight? We also find to be magnificent in love, based upon the example of Hannah, that it is a love that never gives up. Even in the years after she had given Samuel to the Lord, Hannah continued to visit him on an annual basis when it was the annual feast time. And the scripture says that every year she brought him a new robe that she had made. Regularly. A mom investing, showing care and concern. Dr. Gadsden Foote, who was a Methodist minister in Fort Worth, Texas, talked about one time or wrote about that he was walking down the boardwalk, tells you how long ago this is, and he saw a man bludgeoned laying on the dirt in Fort Worth. He recognized him. It was the son of one of the members of his church. And so he gathered him up and he took him to his mom's house. This is an adult son. Knocked on the door. She came. She recognized what was going on. They put him in the bed and she began to do what she could to clean him up. She said that Dr. Gaston said that she had sent him to the kitchen to get some water, a basin of water. And so as he was coming back, here was this grown man, bludgeoned, blood getting on this white apron as he lay his head in his mother's lap. And the mother saying, "You will never let me love you when you're sober." That speaks to me. Because here's a mother that does not give up. Her love is there, even though her son is reckless and rebellious. A mother's love continues. That's the kind of love that we need. We need it, yes, for our family, but we need it for the world. If we're going to be magnificent in love, not only do we have to arrange our priorities, we have to be able to come to a place where we love people when they're unlovable, that we don't give up on them, that we continue to share our faith with them, continue to help them and encourage them, to try to get them on the right track. So many testimonies of people that I have spoken with that it was because some believer somewhere got them on the right track that they were where they were today. They didn't give up. And that kind of love is magnificent. The last thing that I want to address out of this passage is the magnificence of influence. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill a list of all of his teachers. And he wanted to get the approval before he wrote the article. And we find that Winston Churchill sent it back to him. And he said, "You have omitted the greatest teacher that I have had. You omitted my mother." You see, a mother's influence is beyond calculation. When they're there, whether with kids growing up or whether the kids are gone in their own lives, the mother's influence continues. Samuel never got away from Hannah's influence. He was a prophet of God. He was the last judge of Israel. He was one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament. He's probably the greatest biblical character between Moses and David. And it was Hannah that influenced him. Hannah that burdened to have him and to give him over to the Lord. Hannah's influence lived in Samuel and lived in many others who Samuel influenced himself. And frankly, that continues to this day. Dr. George W. Truett was pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas for some 44 years. He was from White Wright, Texas. Dr. Lee Scarborough, who I mentioned earlier about his mother praying for him when she could barely cross the room, well, he was preaching at the church in White Wright. And during the time of welcome, he said, "You know what I want you to do? I want you to go and shake the hand of the person that led you to Jesus Christ." Dr. Scarborough watched as people moved to the people in the congregation. And he said, there were more than 20 people waiting in line for one plainly dressed woman. And that was the mother of Dr. Truett. Truett influenced so many people, but look at what his mom did just in that community, in that church. I believe with all of my heart, we've got to be influencer. If you're on Facebook, and probably many of you aren't, but if you are, they have Facebook influencers now. They're trying to be the ones that pave the way and show all the new stuff and try these exotic things. Well, in the Christian life, we ought to be the one that is the influencer. Hannah's influence on young Samuel honored God. She was the one who got his sales in the right direction. And believing God as a child, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll find that Samuel was all in for God. He served God all of his days, and his mother was the influence there. We also find that influence blesses mankind. As we look at our world, we find that some of the greatest leaders of the past have been believers in Christ. That's what we need today. Hannah mightily influenced her son Samuel, who influenced Israel, that has influenced the world to this day. George Washington's mother was a great influence on George Washington, who continued to put biblical ideas as we were moving forward as a new nation into play. And she sat him down and the other kids every single day, twice a day. They had Bible readings and they had prayer. Think about William Gladstone. He was the Prime Minister of England. His mother led him to a saving faith in Jesus Christ when he was 9 years old, and he said later, "All I think, all I write, all I am is based on the divinity of Jesus Christ." That was because of what his mom did. Oliver Cromwell, another Prime Minister of England in years gone by, his mother taught him the Scriptures, and he embraced the one throughout his life, and he lived it out. His favorite verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." To rise to that kind of level makes all the difference in the world. D.L. Moody came to the Lord at age 17, and his mother was an influencer. Sir Isaac Newton, his mother prayed for him every single day of his life. She died when he was 7 years old. But Newton later said, "I was born in a home of godliness and dedicated to God in my infancy." The influence of mothers in those early years and the influence all through the years, it makes a difference. We need to be magnificent in that ourselves. Longtime pastor of a Baptist church in London, also Townley Lloyd was a president at one time of the Baptist World Alliance. He said this of his mother: "She knew nothing of the discussions of the scholars about the Savior as a historic figure, but everything of him as a daily presence." And I think I would like to ask you that question. It seemed to me that that's exactly where Hannah was. Sensitive to God. Knowing God's daily presence in her life. Being able to come in the midst of a tragic situation, almost a sense of hopelessness. And through that, God giving her hope through His promise. And not only a hope for her, but a hope for the nation of Israel. We are in a time that sometimes it seems like it's hopeless. We're living in a time that we are restricted in so many ways, but it is not hopeless, because the God who gave Hannah that child after he had closed her is the same God that is with us today. He's the same God who desires us to be magnificent in prayer, to be magnificent in our love, to be magnificent in how we influence the world. He desires us to have that kind of influence and not to be set aside and not to be put as fans, not able to get into the game, but rather to say, okay, God, this world and what's happening in it right now should burden me. The people who are dying that don't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, at an alarming rate, it should bother us. It should burden us. And therefore, we ought to be magnificent. Hannah's a great example. There are people in this church who are viewing right now that you're wonderful examples. I want to challenge each one of us today on this Mother's Day. Let's embrace the challenge that Hannah has given to us. And let's make a difference in this world. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of these folks that I mentioned who were leaders in nations and leaders in science, their moms led them to Christ or influenced them that way. Today, you've heard the message. And I ask you to give your life to Christ. And believers, commit yourself to be magnificent. Doesn't mean that we have to be boastful or proud. No. No, what it means is that we're simply going to do what God has called us to do. Father, as we close our service today, as people are watching in their homes, I pray that they will listen and hear and be obedient to this amazing woman, Hannah, who was willing to be bold with burden. God, you blessed her. After you had closed her womb, Father, you brought about Samuel. And in fact, after she gave Samuel, you blessed her and honored her with more children. Father, that's a blessing that each of us can take to heart. That when we're obedient to you, we hold to your promise and we dedicate ourselves and everything we have to you, that you're going to bless us far beyond what we can understand. And today, I pray each one of us will do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.